All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 302 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by Bet365, our sports betting partner that is here just in time for the playoffs. We'll be here with Bet365 to provide you all the news, analysis, line combinations, and the betting options for the playoffs until one team is left standing. We're down to eight. We'll get to one at Bet365. I'm Jason Greger, alongside Frank Saravalli. And man, there's lots to discuss. We'll get to the NHL playoffs, but big news earlier this morning. No real surprise, Frank. We've been talking about this for a month. Sheldon Keefe has been let go by the Toronto Maple Leafs. So there is now five teams looking for an NHL head coach.
Is it six?
No, St. Louis. St. Louis, they announced Bannister staying.
Okay. Either way, you said right off the hop, no surprise. And with their lack of playoff success, I thought it was impossible to bring Sheldon Keefe back next year. And it's not just, you know, you look at his numbers. Let me read you his record as coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. 212, 97, and 40 in 349 regular season games. Three consecutive 100-point seasons. The numbers in the regular season are as good as you could possibly hope for.
Yep.
But he also walked around like a giant ball of stress. And I truly believe that, first off, I believe Sheldon Keefe will be better the second time around. Most are. I think he'll be better outside of the pressure cooker that the Toronto Maple Leafs want you to believe that there is. But I think he wore a lot of the things that are standing in the way of this team from being successful. And I don't think he's the only one. We've talked about this enough already to this point, this offseason. We hit on it on Monday, the idea of the loser's mentality. But I think he embodied a part of it. And I think change was not just inevitable, but necessary.
Yeah, this season, I think more than ever, in just some of his comments, it looked like a guy who kind of knew there was a lot of stress of, man, we got to win or I'm gone. And just some things that were said, I think it'll probably be better for both parties, to be honest. I think Keith's going to get another shot somewhere. And when he does, most coaches, you learn from a lot of your, you know, you learn from a lot of your successes. You learn from some of your failures, and, you know, every market's going to be different in how you react to it. You know what? Yeah, it is a big market, but there's two ways to approach it. And I do agree with you sometimes, you know, they look for excuses and reasons why they don't win that aren't about hockey. And that's,
but they go into it thinking that it's like pre-baked into what they do, which is part of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It can't, you can't have like, I don't mean to like, I'm not knocking anyone, but does anyone in the Toronto media scare anyone? Like I don't think there's this big, bad, hungry pack of rabid wolves that walk into your locker room every day. Like the Leafs would want you to think.
No, I don't think in any market, to be honest.
Me neither. And I would say on top of that, like you can look at your fan base and how large it is one of two ways. Either it's a detriment or it's the most powerful tool in the NHL. Your choice.
Yeah. 100%. So we'll see what they do. Now, I guess, I didn't include LA because it's not vacant. He's still there. He's kind of in limbo, I guess, in Jim Hiller, but I guess because it's not vacant, I should have said five vacancies and one that
I would call that a vacancy because they don't have a permanent head coach. Yeah. So I would say that is up for grabs.
All right. Well, then we would say if we add LA, then it'll be six. You know, the Toronto team is, as you mentioned, just outlined, they're a pretty good team, right? Like if you look at the job openings that are vacant, you'd say, okay, well, there's Winnipeg, Toronto. Those two teams, just 100-point teams, made the playoffs. New Jersey's got some young players coming. Seattle, and then San Jose is obviously at the very bottom because you know, it's a long rebuild in Seattle. I think there is only 32 jobs. I totally understand it, but you know, the San Jose one is a different type of job that you're taking over. You're knowing you're taking over a team that's not going to be competitive. You can lie to yourself and convince yourself that you're going to be competitive, but they're not. At least for a few years. And I think when you have the conversations with Mike Greer, you need to be like, am I only here to be a stopgap for 2 years until your team gets a little bit better and then you move on to someone else? Right. And I get there's only 32 jobs. You'll get paid very well. So I understand why you take it, but it is one where you'd hope you have a conversation and say, hey, like, let's try to build here. But I will say this, San Jose's got to do a better job. You got to hire a coach that's going to help and work with your team and be prepared.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you were a top head coaching candidate and you've got your pick of the litter. Which job is the most attractive to you and why?
Well, honestly, I'll say Toronto. I think it's the one where I can get paid the most. It's the one where it's got the best player in Austin Matthews. And when you have a best player, you got a better chance. So you got a team that would be willing to spend right to the cap all the time. And that doesn't mean you always spend well, but they'll spend. So yeah, to me, Toronto would be number one of those. If we include LA, it'll still be number one out of the six for me. You?
It's New Jersey and it's not close.
Really?
I think Jack Hughes is just a shade below Austin Matthews. Maybe not in terms of goal scoring, but in terms of overall impact. And yeah, he's got, I think, some things to prove potentially from a health standpoint in terms of being able to withstand the rigors again of an 82 game season. I love where their defense corps is heading. I know they're young, but Simone Nemitz, Luke Hughes, and then now add in Seamus Casey out of Michigan, plus Dougie Hamilton will be healthy in the fall. I think when you consider some of the other offensive pieces that they have, they're built strong down the middle. They've got Nico Hischier. They've got Jesper Bratt. That is, you know, really turned himself into a hugely impactful piece in the NHL. They're a goalie away and some proper structure, which you as the coach would provide. You'd have the confidence to provide it. That's the job that I would want. And I, you know, they're going to spend, they're going to pay you. They may not pay you what Toronto does if you're a top flight coach, but it'd be close. And provided that all those other sort of contractual, whatever details, let's pretend that they're all equal. That's the roster that I'd want if I were a coaching candidate, because I just think the Leafs have too much work to do, to say nothing of some of the other things that we just talked about. The pressure, the demons of playoffs past, all those things. I think you get a Devils team that severely underachieved last season, had an immaturity to them, and an attention to detail problem that I think you can not only put them right back in the playoffs, but as a team that won a round 1 year ago, you can hit the ground running.
Interesting. Yeah. I think their defense is a few years away, to be honest, but and Jack Hughes, you mentioned the health will be the concern for him, right?
That's a few years away though, but like, I agree with your premise, but where else are you going to find really talented pieces like that on your back end? I'd rather start with that than try and take over a Toronto Maple Leafs defense corps that's severely undermanned every night.
See, I didn't think their defense was an issue. I actually thought they competed really hard in the playoffs this year.
That's the scariest part, that right. They lost in round one, and a defense corps that we all know is not Stanley Cup contender worthy wasn't the problem.
Yeah. You know, like obviously they could use a puck mover for sure on that back end. There's no question in my mind, but they'll be in. Then there's, you know, like Winnipeg's the other one to me. That's interesting because, you know, obviously you've got a Vezina Trophy winning goaltender. You know, I really like Josh Morrissey. I like DeMello. I like their defense core. They got some good forwards.
Hellebuck's going to make you look good.
Yeah. So they're like those, all three of those jobs are pretty attractive. Even the LA Kings job, like if the LA Kings are allowed to get rid of their terrible system, which their players have finally spoken out again and said, hey, can we please not do this anymore? It's not working in today's NHL, which I think is fair. They've got some skilled guys. Like, I just can't see Dubois being this bad again. I can't. But I think Byfield's he's rocketing it's a up
to not buy him out.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The only time. First off, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get this window. He turns 26 on June 24th. The last possible day of the Cup final is June 24th if it's a Game 7 situation and the schedule doesn't line up for it to start earlier. But the way the rule works is you have the buyout window that opens the later of June 15th or 48 hours after the conclusion of the Stanley Cup final. I think the Jets opening is a significant one. I think my big question would be how authentic is the opening? Because you think about Scott Arneil and him being on the bench while Rick Bowness was out this season dealing with, you know, the personal issue with his wife and the seizure that she had, and then also his own medical issue. They didn't skip a beat. He has the trust. He has some cachet in the marketplace, having been a Jets 1.0 player. Does that job actually open, or does it go right to Scott Arneil?
That's a fair question. I always, history tells us going from assistant to head coach is very difficult to have success.
But he's been a head coach in this league already.
On their team, right? You get promoted from assistant to head coach in the same organization, we've seen lots of guys do it. And it's just hard because you're going from being, you know, the coach who pats you on the back and talks nice. And then suddenly you're the guy who's got to come down and crack down and say, hey, pull up your socks. So not saying it's impossible, but just history tells you that's a little bit harder. So, you know,
What you say, pull up your socks?
Not really. No, you know, maybe like tighten your skates, right? Get your head out of your ass, you know, different things like that. Yeah. Definitely to the 10-year-olds. I really like to use the head out of your ass one for the 10-year-olds. That's, you know, try to go with the Peyton Manning approach with the kids. I find that that's the best, you know, shoot a few pucks at them in practice. It's fun.
By the way, Eli Manning, I don't know if you watched the Tom Brady roast, but he made the tweet of it afterwards. He goes, I would have gone to roast Tom Brady, but I already did twice.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's pretty funny. So that roast is actually pretty good. Although,
man, I don't think any of it is repeatable here on this family show.
No, I did see Nikki Glaser on Howard Stern, and a lot of her jokes that she didn't use there were talking about Brady's face, and I was like, yeah, it is. He's definitely had some work done there, man. She had a Ken doll reference on the Howard Stern show that was pretty damn funny. So check it out. Anyway, so the coaching of it, we'll see what the teams. Take your time. You'll do some interviews. Do you think in Toronto, like, is Craig Berube the front runner in your mind, Frank?
I think he's high on their list. I think it's too early to say front runner. I mean, this just, I know that we've all been wanting to project what this looks like under the assumption that Sheldon Keefe is gone, but he wasn't until a few hours ago. And I don't think they've actually really done a ton of work behind the scenes yet. Now, that said, I'd be real surprised if he's not on their list, but I'm also not convinced that he makes it to their opening. Like, I think what that's going to do is cause someone like New Jersey to act to make sure that they get who their preferred person is. And yeah. I think he's pretty far down the process. I think there's a couple other people that are as well, that they're going to have to make a decision here sooner rather than later to find the guy that they want.
Yeah, well, yeah, it becomes a little bit of a race, right? If both New Jersey and Toronto want Craig Berube, then it's going to be, well, you know, who acts the quickest. And, you know, if New Jersey...
Some guys have been really, really quiet during this process. Like, I'm surprised that we haven't heard publicly Todd McClellan's name anywhere. I'm surprised that we, until New Jersey, hadn't heard anything about Jay Woodcroft. Not to pick two former Oiler coaches, just I think they're some of the best candidates available. In addition to Berube.
Oh yeah. I wonder about like younger coach too. Guy who's, you know, beating the American League. We've seen guys, you know, look at Carberry, the success he had in Washington, right? Like it doesn't always have, I get why you go with experience, but there are some guys now. Woodcroft's only been a head coach in one place. So it's, you know, and Todd McClellan obviously has a great track record. Craig Berube's won a Stanley Cup. So I totally understand it. But out of those six, you know, I wonder if we see one or two that are first-time head coaches, because we've seen quite a few of them the last few years, right? Like there's some guys, you know, I hear that, you know, supposedly, you know, Todd Nelson doesn't necessarily interview great, but I'm like, who cares? His track record's really good, right? Like I wonder at some point what some of these coaches have to do to get a head coaching gig in it.
Well, it also makes you wonder when you have someone like Spencer Carberry on your bench already, did they make an error or err in not stepping up to keep him? You have him for 2 years. He goes to Washington.
Yeah.
Now Washington, he made a lot out of a little, I think.
Yeah.
It's fair to say.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% it is. Yeah. No, I think that's totally valid. So you have to sometimes have confidence in your guys that you know, we talk about developing players. Well, if you've developed a head coach, maybe you have to find an opening for. So well, it is hard though.
I was going to say one last thing, like the other part that made this inevitable that no one really wants to say out loud is Sheldon Keefe was never Brad Treliving's guy. He didn't bring him in there. He didn't hire him. He gave him a 2-year extension last summer and that didn't kick in yet, which by the way is the second coach in a row that Brad Treliving has given an extension to that he never lived to see as coach, including Daryl Sutter. But it seemed like the writing was on the wall from that perspective. Not that he didn't give him a fair shake. It's just every manager wants their own guy. And that's just a fact of the process.
Yes. 100%. And I always thought that was a little bit strange to be honest, why, you know, the need to give an extension there.
I'll tell you why. It's exactly what I just talked about. We have to give Sheldon Keefe an extension because we think it looks bad in our market if he's coaching into the final year of his deal. The next part was we can't just give him a 1-year extension because then we're concerned about the optics that it's only a 1-year extension and that we're really not giving him confidence, a vote of confidence. Yeah. Because there were questions about Sheldon Keefe's job last year at this time.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, if you start worrying about optics, then you're putting yourself in all sorts of trouble. And so I think it's an organizational issue.
It's not, they don't worry about optics, they're consumed by them.
Yeah. Well, not working, not healthy at all. Let's get to the NHL playoffs. And the last few nights in the NHL playoffs have been some hell of a games. You had the double overtime games on Tuesday night. Last night you had Florida pumping the Boston Bruins, and then you have Pasternak wanting to fight, and you know, it's Kachuk, and then you have the Edmonton Oilers, who didn't play well at all, somehow had a 3-goal lead and then blew it, went 22 minutes and 43 seconds without a shot on goal after leading 4-1. They got outshot, they got outscored 4-0 in that span and blew a 3-goal lead. Not good at all for them, Frank. It's one game. We saw Florida bounce back. We saw Dallas, who's a really good defensive team, blew a 3-0 first period lead in their opening game against the Colorado. So no one can say that the second round hasn't had a lot of, we might have had more fireworks in the first few games of the second round than we had all the first round.
Yeah, I was going to say second 3-goal lead blown in as many nights on top of the fireworks between Boston and Florida.
What'd you make of that?
Well, I love it because it's old school playoffs. Like when I think of two teams meeting potentially for 7 times in a 2-week span, it's supposed to be nasty. It's supposed to, you know, have all those extracurriculars. I felt like they kind of lost control a little bit in game 2, that it was like, okay, guys, when Pasta is fighting Tkachuk, I think we've probably just jumped the shark here and maybe a little unnecessary. Although, give David Pastrnak credit. Like, he's not a scrapper. Matthew Tkachuk has, he's probably been fighting since he was 3 with his brothers. So, yeah. You know, he's used to it and he's a big boy. But I miss the nastiness of playoff series in the past when that was the norm. Think back to, I mean, you can go to the 80s. For me, you know, it'd be the mid to late 90s, and just that was every night. That was Detroit, Colorado. That was Philadelphia, New Jersey. That was whoever it might be. That's what we saw all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it, to be honest. And I love that David Pastrnak, you know what? He's like, hey, we're a team. You win as a team, you lose a team. Sometimes you got to jump outside your comfort zone. You know what? He didn't get hurt. I think he might have surprised Tkachuk a little bit that he was willing to do it. And you know, obviously people, I don't want Pastrnak. He didn't get injured, so don't give me that. Well, he could have got injured. Well, he didn't. And
it's to just me, like the Trouba hit. Hey, it could have been a suspension. Well, we're talking in the hypothetical here. He didn't connect with anyone.
And if he had connected, he probably doesn't catapult as far as he does. Right. So either way, I think that, you know, that series has been great. The Rangers and the Hurricanes, you know, Shesterkin's been unbelievable for them. The fact that Florida, like Jeremy Swayman looked, he was unbeatable. And then all of a sudden, you know, they find ways to get some goals past him. So that's boost their confidence. Florida did not play well in game 1, and you knew they'd be better. And, you know, like, I think Dallas is going to, like, you look at Dallas and Edmonton specifically, both teams blew 3 goal leads, and Edmonton didn't play well at all. Dallas actually played well in the first period to gain their 3 goal lead, and then just kind of, you know, fell apart a little bit. But, you know, the game 2s now, it's like these teams are all close, right? Like, you know, I disagree with you. Well, which teams aren't?
I don't think the Oilers and Vancouver are close.
No. Well, if Edmonton plays well, but yeah, maybe.
I just think game 1 for them, this is going to sound really odd to say, I think it was exactly what they needed. It was a wake-up call. It was a 2x4 to the face of, hey, you think you're going to sleepwalk through this? That's,
yeah.
You're right. They didn't play fantastic, but when you have a 4-1 lead and the other team's third goalie spent half the first half of the game swimming around his crease, and the best player on the planet in Connor McDavid was not a world beater in game 1, you got to find a way to win the game. I don't care.
Yeah.
And you may be able to get away with it against the Vancouver Canucks this round. You may be able to overcome that, but I can tell you with 100% certainty, you can't give away freebies to the Colorado Avalanche or Dallas Stars, and it sure as hell isn't going to work in the Stanley Cup final. So no. This team that we've talked about for 301 episodes previously as one that beats themselves and shoots themselves in the foot, they proved that they haven't checked that box yet, because that's what they did in game 1. I don't take anything away from what the Canucks did, because they don't really quit and they have a belief. And we've seen now 3 times this playoffs alone in 7 games that they're not going to back down. And that's a really special quality to have. But I think when both of these teams are at their best, I think to me, and watching the Canucks really closely this year, like for any Vancouver fans listening, you know that I was at the very front of the bus driving it on your team getting to the playoffs this year. And I picked the Canucks to beat the Preds in six games. I've been a Canucks believer, so to speak. But I think that there's a clear gap between these two teams. And it's up to Edmonton to decide whether or not they're going to take advantage of it.
Oh, well, especially with Demko out. Like, that's the question I have. I'm curious about Rick Tocchet because Shelaz was not good. The Hyman goal, you know, the Ekholm goal, those two are definitely ones he would want back. But then they went 22 minutes and 43 seconds without a shot. So, like, how do you evaluate your goal? I'm curious what Rick Tocchet's going to do. Does he go back to Casey DeSmith in game two, even though they won?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think if you were going to do it, you would have done it when it was 4-2 at the end of the second period. If not for the comeback and to jolt your team, you do it for under the guise of, hey, we got to knock some rust off after almost 2 weeks without playing. That's how I would look at it. And the fact that he didn't do it then, I'd be real surprised if Shelovs doesn't get the start for game two and has earned himself a little bit of rope here.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But then the Oilers got to take advantage of that because, you know, like he's a 906 career goaltender in the American Hockey League, right? He's 23 years of age. He's a young guy. You know, the goals through traffic, that's the one scouting report that, you know, at times he lost pucks. Like, you know, and then the game might all have changed, Frank. All Nugent Hopkins has to do is hit the wide open net. He hit the goalpost, right? It's like Elias Pettersson. Yeah, you know, when he missed nets, if Nugent Hopkins scores there, it's probably lights out. But he didn't. And I give the Canucks credit. They were the better team all night, even when they were down 4-1. They were.
I disagree with that.
You thought they were better than, or Edmonton was the better team through the first 34 minutes?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't see, what part would you say the Canucks were head and shoulders or a clear?
I just don't think Edmonton generated much. Like, look at their goals. I don't even think they had a high danger scoring chance on 5-on-5.
I loved the boys. I thought they were dangerous.
Oof. I don't know, man. Maybe we watched different games. I didn't see much at all from their top offensive guys really generating chances at all.
I thought, but what did Vancouver do to impress you? I guess is another way to look at it.
I thought they had long stretches where, you know, Stuart Skinner, first of all, he stops a breakaway early on in the first period. He made two other point blank saves. I thought Stuart Skinner up now, I didn't like the Garland goal, but I thought Stuart Skinner in the first half of the game was the goaltending was the big reason why Edmonton was leading. Shelovs wasn't very good and Skinner had been quite good.
Okay. Famous last words, but I think there's a clear disparity between these two teams. I think the Canucks are a good team. I think the Oilers have the potential to be a great team. And I think they're in their own way. And
oh, yeah, no, Edmonton could play better. There's no question about it. Right. And, you know, we'll see we saw 2 years ago, Draisaitl can play injured, but, you know, it looked like, you know, he was talking on the video. You were in the game, but you're at the arena, but on TV, it looked like he had a clear, you know, something was wrong with his back.
My back.
Yeah. So now your back, you can just have a back. You can have a muscle spasm in your back. It lights up. Now you do all the therapy for 2 days and it's fine, right? Like that happens quite a bit. So, but it depends on, you know, what kind of back injury it is. If it's just one of those where, you know what, you got somebody hit you right in the right spot, you know, your muscles all contract and, you know, you got a little bit of a spasm. You can work that out in 48 hours. Right. He came back and played, which, you know, doesn't shock me. He's got a pretty high pain threshold, but, you know, that's something to watch. And the other thing was, you know, the Oilers scored 4 goals and McDavid, that might've been the quietest I've seen him in a game in the playoffs, right? Like 97 is going to be a lot better in game two.
He will be. And so do you buy Chris Knobloch when he says that it was cramping and an equipment issue? Like, because cramping could be part of a spasm.
Yeah. Cramping could be it. Yeah, that's fair.
Are you buying or selling on that, not to take Tyler's job?
Yeah. Well, the equipment issue I'm probably selling on. Like, I don't know. Like, what kind of equipment issue do you, like, I don't know, is part of your pants digging into your back? Like, well, I don't know what your equipment issue is there. Like, most guys' pants are pretty loose fitting, right? So the cramping one I could get. You know, I get it's playoffs, Frank. Like, it's Frank.
My pants are never loose fitting, just so you know.
Yeah. It's playoffs. Like, I don't know. I'll say this about Knobloch, though. He's been, from day one, he's been very upfront about everything. Now, injuries are different and it is a playoff. So I'll preface that. But So he's some coaches, you've dealt with him over the years. Like after a while, you're like, I don't really trust what this guy says. I'm not remotely there with Knobloch. I've never had any sense that he's ever misled, but it is playoffs. So my spotty, the equipment one, I'll definitely be like, I don't know. Like he had a skate issue once, but that was later in the game when he blew a wheel. So they got to be better.
You mentioned pants kicking the, that was a kick in the pants.
You're either
going to wake up or you're not.
Yeah. Like the Oilers blew a chance there in a game. Like, you know how sometimes, Frank, you'll say, oh man, they wasted a good effort. The Oilers wasted a bad effort. I didn't think they were very good and they easily could have won that game.
That's even worse in my opinion.
I agree. No. So, but I'll say this, like, you know, I think Vancouver, like, you know what? I think Quinn Hughes didn't have a bad game by any stretch, but Quinn Hughes can dominate a game. So while we say McDavid can be better, I think Quinn Hughes can probably be better from his standpoint too. So, you know, anytime you give away a game in the playoffs, it makes it hard. And that to me is a game where I felt like the Oilers gave it away. And it just makes it more, even if you play well some games and lose, that happens in the playoffs. But now, you know, you've given away one of your strikes.
Mm-hmm. So on a switching gears to another series on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of concern for the Canes?
But I'll say this about the Canes. Like they lost both games 4-3. You know, they've outshot them. You know, they're averaging, now I know one game was overtime, but still I don't have that much concern yet for Carolina, except the Rangers are just like, you got to find a way to score goals on Shesterkin, right? Like that's going to be their big challenge here. So to me, Carolina has to, I think, and they're in like a double must win situation. I don't think they can come back to New York down 3-1 and expect to win 3 in a row, 2 of them in New York. Right. I don't think they can do it. So I think they got to come home and maintain home ice advantage and make it a best of 3.
Hmm. It's interesting because that you said that, not to take it back to the other series, but I was sitting in Rogers Arena last night as the Canucks were down 4-1. And I was like, game two, if that were to end like that or with a similar result, game two would have been must win for the Canucks. I'm sorry, you lose the first two on home ice. If you're the Canucks, you're not beating the Oilers 4 times in the next however many games, five games. I can't do math. But I think the Canes are in a totally different position. Not only have we seen this already between these two teams in 2022, remember the Rangers lost the first two games of that series? And then they came back and won in game 7. That's recent history just between these two teams. They lost them. I think they lost them on the road the first two games, just like the Canes lost them on the road this time. So, you know, I think Carolina, like we're talking an incredibly thin margin in game 2. And game 1 was so special teams heavy that it's not that doesn't mean anything. It's just, I think Carolina's carried themselves just fine at even strength.
Oh, well, but you know, what's funny about it? Like I said, at the start, the Rangers special teams, it was a big reason why they were so successful in the regular season. So why would I expect it to change? The thing is though, their power play is dominating a team that's a very good penalty killing team. Carolina was a top 2 penalty killing team in the regular season. They've been top 5, I think, for I don't know what it is, like 6 or 7 years. And the Rangers right now, in game 1, they score 2 early. Boom, that's basically the difference. Then they score, you know, you get a power play in overtime, you bury it. They're, you know, like right now, I think they're what, 155% combined penalty kill and power play. Now, I know it's only 2 games, right? So it's probably not going to maintain it. But you do that, you're winning. Like, you're winning. I always chuckle when people try to tell you, well, special teams doesn't matter. You're delusional. Special teams matters a lot. And to me, it's more the Hurricanes penalty kill that's got to get going here, because right now they're just getting absolutely demolished by the Rangers power play. And that shouldn't really happen. Like, you've got a good penalty kill and a good power play. And right now the power play is absolutely shredding their penalty kill.
Well, do you have a favorite second round series so far? Like, which one is appointment viewing for you? And you can't say the one that you're doing for work with the Oilers.
Well, honestly, game 1 wasn't that was a terrible game. Like, it was the worst of the game in their second round, in my opinion. I thought Dallas Colorado was better. The Rangers, honestly, I'd probably say the Rangers Canes so far. Now maybe it's because there's 2 games, but you know what? They've been great. Like, being fast paced, there's been some big hits, there's been some timely goals. I really like that series so far. I mean, like, tonight has a double dip. that it's like must view TV for me. I like both of them.
I'm with you, but I can't really, like, now that we've seen it, I don't think I can look away from Bruins Cats again.
No, well, that's the other one, right? Like, the second round, Frank, and I agree that usually, A, there's more games, but usually the first round has the higher intensity. It didn't really have it this year. I think there was a pretty big disparity in a lot of those series. But these ones, now, I probably agree with you, Edmonton maybe is a favorite, but I think Florida should be better than Boston too. And we saw that in game two, but now there's that added, you know, hatred and animosity, which we love as fans to watch those other games. So yeah, I'll be watching that one tomorrow, but the Colorado Dallas series, like, God, you know, you got lots of skill. I just speed in that series. I really like it a lot. Like, that's Colorado is so fun to watch, but so is Dallas, right? Like, you've got enough veteran players on both sides. Then you've got young Wyatt Johnson, who's just a stud for them. I like, you know, the Cale Makar, you're Heiskanen, like, my God, you got an elite defender on both teams. Like, there's not much to like, not to like in that series. And then the Canes and the Rangers is, to me, one where, like, the Hurricanes, what have we talked about, Frank, for years? They need a difference maker at a key time. That's what they're going to need right now. Aho's played well. Gensel's played well, but you know, the Rangers are just getting better, timely goals right now through two games. But I do think, I'll say this, the building in Carolina tonight is going to be an absolute gong show in a good way. Like, the Caniacs are going to come out, and I think they're going to give their team a, like, the first 10 minutes. I know it's cliche because it's true. The Rangers are good. They're going to be drinking out of a fire hose in the first 10 minutes, Frank. And if they can, if Shesterkin can keep minute, then I think they're in. But look for the Hurricanes to just, they're throwing everything at the Rangers. I think the first 10 minutes should be must-watch TV tonight.
I agree. I think the second round, all four series are compelling in their own way.
Yeah. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, you won't be able to see me today, Jason, because I'm in the same room as Frank and we only have one camera. I guess if you want, I could go stand behind his shoulder and do that.
No, please don't.
No, you just want to do it like this. All right. Buy or sell today is brought to you by Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to bring home hockey's ultimate prize. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home some delicious and potentially free food is download the Wendy's app today, and you can rack up awards and eat your way through the menu, and you'll find plenty of deals along the way. Shout out to our friends over at Wendy's. All right, gentlemen, the first one I got for you is about the draft lottery. San Jose gets the win. The balls fall their way. I'm going to say, and we've had this conversation in the past about how down we are on the Sharks and their chances of getting back to the playoffs in the next 5 years. But with Celebrini, and now that kind of changes the outset, I'm going to say they do make the playoffs in Celebrini's entry-level contract. Buy or sell, Greggs?
His entry-level contract? Oh, my God.
By that third year?
I'm selling all day long. No, I don't think they'll get to 80 points in his entry level deal.
All right, Frank.
80 points. Wow, that bar is really low. I mean, look at all the bad teams that have gotten to 80 points. I said recently that the Sharks didn't have a path to be competitive before 2030.
Ooh.
I think Celebrini and Will Smith down the middle have now changed that to 2027.
So I'm not far off then.
No, I think you're a year ahead. So I'm going to say no on the entry level, but his fourth year in the league.
All right. Second one I got for you was reading Frank's article about the big, some big storylines heading into this summer. And a couple of them stood out. One of them, UC Saros being a Predator next season. Frank, you buying or selling on Saros staying in Nashville?
I'm selling. And the big reason why is I like Saros. I think he's a fantastic goalie, but he was also completely average for the Preds this year. And they were already entertaining, in the playoffs, 900 save percentage. And yeah, you could make the argument, hey, the numbers were skewed because the Canucks didn't have that many shots on goal. Fine. I thought every single game that the Canucks played in round one, UC Saros was gettable. There was no game that he sat back and stole. And that's not a prerequisite. Like sometimes good in the NHL for goaltending is good enough. But there were already so many teams interested in Saros before where the Preds were considering it, that with coupled with how well Yaroslav Askarov had played in Milwaukee this season, I think the time is right. You're going to have to step up and pay him. If not, I don't think with Askarov there that it makes sense to commit to Saros long term when you've got a younger guy who can be the engine of your team moving forward. And so all those things smashed together, to pardon the Smashville pun, I would say this is when it makes sense to do it. And I think there's enough teams out there that are looking for stability in net that this summer is right in the Barry Trotz sweet spot.
Greg's buy or sell on Saros being a Predator next season.
It's a really good question. I agree with Frank's statement that, you know what, he's got a really good cap hit for 1 year. And so teams would be like, man, we get him in, you know, history tells you sometimes it takes guys a little bit longer. So you might be better off to acquire him in the summer, have him a full training camp than acquire him during the season for your team. Nashville probably could generate the most return this summer. But at the same time, if they feel that, you know, he can help him for the next 6 years, then I don't know, man, I'll probably say I buy that he does get traded, because I think they moved Ekholm, and you know, he's a really good defenseman. So I think that was maybe a sign of where they feel their organization's at. So I will buy as well. And I'm very curious where he goes. I think there's going to be a long list of teams that would be highly interested in UC Saros.
New Jersey.
Ooh, that'd be a good 100%.
Guess. What about Toronto Maple Leafs?
I could see it, but it would be something that Brad Treliving would do. Do they need someone as good as Saros with Wall? And I saw everyone kind of comment this week when I said Joe Wall's their goalie of the future.
Got to stay healthy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They were like, he hasn't proven yet he can stay healthy.
Last one I got for you guys. Frank, you wondered in the article if Alex Ovechkin has played his final Stanley Cup playoff game. I'm going to make it a two-parter here. Ovi and Crosby. Buy or sell on us having seen the last of both Ovi and Crosby in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Greg's, you buying or selling?
Well, that's a juicy question. God, is Crosby re-signing in Pittsburgh? That's the real question. I'm going to sell.
100% he's signing in Pittsburgh. I will be shocked if we get through Canada Day and Sidney Crosby does not have a new contract extension announced.
Okay, by July 1st.
Three times 10 and a half, whatever the number looks like, it's something like that.
Yeah. Well, I'll still sell because I think there's a path for one of them to have a good year to get in to the postseason. Now, win a playoff round, that might be a different question.
I'm going to buy on Crosby playing again in the playoffs. I'm going to sell on Ovechkin.
Oh, I didn't know I could do it separate. That's changing the.
Well, why?
It's kind of cheating.
Is it?
I don't know. You guys always bend things when I ask you questions. It doesn't matter.
I just think the Penguins have more pieces. I'm not going out on a limb by saying that. Letang, Carlson, Malkin, Crosby. Malkin woke up toward the end of the year.
Yeah, the Caps have way better younger players, though.
Okay, so list them off for me. So, like, let's say Ryan Leonard signs, okay? And because of this domino effect, you've got, let's say, Celebrini goes to San Jose, so Will Smith joins him from BC, and then the Washington Capitals put the heat on Ryan Leonard at BC to say, hey, your running mate left. Come play with us in the NHL next season. So Leonard, sure, really good player. Who's next on your list?
Well, hey, man, I think Connor McMichael's a good player that's coming up. I like Hendrix Lapierre a lot. I still like Dylan Strome's not that old, right? I think Dylan Strome is a really good player. He's only 26, right? So I like their guys better, to be honest.
I guess I could, you know, get on board with McMichael and Lapierre. I don't think they're game changers. And I'm not sure that you'd classify Carlson and Letang and Malkin as game changers right now, but Sid and Ovi aren't on the same planet anymore. I don't care if Ovi got to 30 goals. Sid is, we all knew he was going to age way better. I can't comment on anyone's diet or how they treat themselves, but when you see Ovi walk onto the plane with Pizza Hut and Cheetos, like, that's Sidney Crosby ain't doing that. So yeah, no. We knew how that was going to go.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Right.
All right. That is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell, brought to you by Wendy's and the Wendy's Rewards app.
So Frank, the other thing that's interesting going on in the hockey world right now, we saw the women, they had their draft. And of course, number one took number four in the playoffs, which I think we all thought would happen. It's a fun little thing. Until a number one doesn't choose a number four, you know, I don't really think it means anything, to be honest. I'm not sure they'll, and I'd be curious, like I said, when they get to a 12 team league and they expand to eight, then I think it gets exciting. When it's four, I think you're always going to go with four. There's not a huge separation there at all. But the world championships this season, because of what's coming next year, and then the Olympics, right? The Four Nations Cup. Are you more interested in the World Championships this season?
As a tournament? No. More interested in roster selection.
Yeah, but that's kind of part of the tournament, right?
Yeah, but we've also seen some players already say no. That have been maybe not surprising, but I think it's interesting that I had a conversation with Rick Nash, the Team Canada GM, about this a few weeks ago on Frankly Speaking. And his point was, if this were the Stanley Cup playoffs, you wouldn't tell me that you were hurt or tired and had a long year. You'd just play. And that's what they're looking for from the Canadian players. I'm sure that's what Bill Guerin is looking for from the U.S. players, is who wants to be here? You can't just want to play in the Olympics and want to play in Four Nations Face-Off, but all of a sudden the world championship is beneath you. I don't think it works like that. So I think fair questions or points to make, but that said, not everyone played ball.
No, and I don't think they're going to, because I think at the end, some of them might look and say, hey man, I want to rest up for myself. I'm taking care of myself, number one, because there's like Nick Suzuki, for instance. There's no guarantee that even if he went to the World Championships that he makes the Four Nations Cup.
No, but if you go to the Four Nations and play your bag off and you're a clear leader and
the World Championships?
The World Champs, and you're a clear leader and a dominant force, you might have played your way onto the team. So I guess my point is, and not to put too fine a point on it, if you don't go and then you don't make it, you don't have the right to bitch.
Yeah, see, I'll say this. I think, going to that tournament's one thing, I honestly believe we could name like the top nine forwards and the top four or five defensemen on most teams pretty easily. And I think we'd all have a consensus agreement, right? Then there's going to come down to decisions. And I think those decisions, Frank, a lot of it's going to come down to how guys are playing next season. Not, well, hey, remember when we had Bob here at the World Championships last May? Yeah, but Bob only has 9 goals now and it's Christmas time, right? Like, I do believe that the first 4-3 months of next year will have a bigger impact than the 8 games you play at the World Championships.
I would agree with that.
Players feel that.
I would agree, except the people picking the team are the people that are picking this team and are the people that are watching this team. And I think you could do, if you are a fringe player or if you're one of those guys that was on the fence, just like in baseball, the tie goes to the runner. In this case, the tie is going to go to people that have put in the work and have showed up.
Possibly, maybe, you know, I would look though, if you're picking a guy because he came to your world championship team over a player who's clearly been better.
What I'm saying. If the two players are equal and you think that there's nothing that distinguishes one from the other, you're picking the guy that already committed to your program and wanted to do it and gave up a month of his off season to play. That's right. Just fact.
Yeah. No, it probably plays into it as long as things are even.
But if it's said it publicly,
yeah. Well, we'll see at the because honestly, I don't think Nick Suzuki would have to play unreal, I think, to make the Canadian team.
I can see why.
I use him as an example because I saw a lot of people ripping on him. I'm like, honestly, if I'm Nick Suzuki and if I'm banged up, my number one priority is to me, and then my number second priority is the Montreal Canadiens, first and foremost. And, you know, because I'm a long shot at best to make that team.
We talked a lot about a loser's mentality, and I'm not saying Nick Suzuki has one. I have no idea if he's banged up. I have no idea about his personal situation. He could have just had a kid recently. There's a million things that could be why someone would say no, and I don't have any right to criticize. All I'm saying is, if I desperately want to represent my country and that's my end all be all, aside from winning the Stanley Cup, is having a shot to play in an Olympics or a Four Nations or any sort of best on best competition, I am leaving no stone unturned. It's like the ultimate motivator. The career pinnacle is making the Canadian Olympic team. The career pinnacle is representing Team USA and wearing the red, white, and blue in Italy in 2026. I'm not passing up the opportunity, and not for nothing. I really truly believe this. I would love to represent my country at any point, whether it's Worlds or some tournament that no one in North America cares about.
No, that's fair. Frankie, that was the rundown brought to you by Bet365, the largest sports betting platform globally. You can open an account at Bet365. Today and use the promo code DAILY365, bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Enjoy your time in Vancouver. We will chat with you next week and enjoy the hallway that you're broadcasting from. And oh, by the way, are you in your Remchuk? You guys are in the same year. Are you guys roommates this trip?
Not roommates, although
he offered.
I have a suite with a separate bedroom. And instead, he's choosing to sleep in a room with 3 other men, potentially 4 last night. So it's questionable life choices, considering I offered him a totally fresh, clean, quiet.
Wow. I want to know what's the reason here. Wow. That's
he's got to be with the oily boys. He's got to hang out with his buddies. He's got to do his thing. So, you go to the game, you wear your jersey, you have a blast, you drink some beers. And then you go cry in your beer after your team loses and blows a 3-goal lead. And then
what the hell did I do to Frank?
Nothing. Jesus. I'm just saying I questionable life choices.
That's a questionable choice. I would agree wholeheartedly. Like, to me, as somebody who hates sharing beds, like I got an opportunity to sleep in a guest bed by myself all day, every day. That's the choice I'm making. I'll be like, I can party with my friends right up until 2 o'clock. And then I say, you guys go in your room, I'm going in mine. Done. Simple.
And look, you know what? I've been doing this a long time. You're older than me. I'm too old. Like, I'm not sharing room with anyone. Like my space on the road is my thing. Like, I'm not doing it. And I don't know if that makes me you know, whatever, privileged or whatnot. But like, since I was 20 years old and started working at a newspaper with a limited budget, I always had my own room. No one's ever asked me to share, and I ain't going backwards.
But you did offer.
But I have a suite. I have a room with a king bed, and there's a separate room connected to mine with two beds. And you can close the door, and he could have his own room. And he said, "You know what? I'd like to stay with the Oily Boys." That's okay.
All right. Little tidbits of on the road. We'll find out how that sleeping arrangement went on the next pod. Have yourselves a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the game tonight, man. It should be an excellent game. If there's one place I'd like to be in Carolina tonight, because I think the Canucks will be going crazy.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful, because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.